The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Welcome back. The final 2 hours of the program are live. We always appreciate you being with us, and there's been so much news. We're going to change gears a little bit. We're delighted to welcome to our program the athletic director at the University of North Carolina, Bubba Cunningham. And Bubba, thank you very much. I know these are extraordinarily busy times, but we appreciate you making a little bit for us. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I appreciate being on. Thanks for the invitation, Paul.
And there are a lot of serious subjects, but I want to talk for a second about Mack Brown. We had Coach Brown on a couple weeks ago, and obviously we, like the whole world, love Coach Brown. And I know that you've talked about it a million times, but your decision to hire him drew a lot of raised eyebrows, but it looks like one of the truly great decisions by an athletic department and director that we have seen in a long time in college athletics. So what happened, and what I mean, because usually those things don't go very well.
Well, you know Mac really well, and boy, I got to know him pretty well over the last couple of years, better than I did previous to that. I had met him many, many years ago and certainly followed his career, as everybody who follows college athletics has. And he came back for the Hall of Fame. You know, when you get inducted to the Hall of Fame, they want you to kind of do a tour around to where you've been and let the people honor you before you actually go to the induction. And then when he was here on campus, it just struck me of the alumni that showed up for a reception for him, the former players that were here, the energy that he brought to the building while he was here was something I just kind of filed away. And unfortunately, Coach Fedora had done a very good job for us, had gotten us to the championship game of the ACC to play Clemson. But then we fell off. We won 8 games, 3 games. And I was sitting there, boy, I sure hope this works. But if it doesn't, I just filed it away and thought, well, maybe Mac would be interested. And fortunately, he was. So at the end of the season, he was very interested in trying to get back on a campus and get in front of kids and coaches and parents. And I feel very fortunate. So far, he has been absolutely fantastic and great to work with in every respect.
Yeah, and Bubba, to me, the most interesting part of that, and not to you because you follow this every day, is just the number of commitments and signees he had the first year. And then I know that there's some restrictions on this upcoming class, but everybody can read the same names that we can. And I mean, he has been a recruiting magnet to Chapel Hill.
He really has. And I think what I underestimated was probably his presence on social media. And when he first came and we hired him, anytime we hired an assistant coach or anytime we hire a position, the first thing he's thinking is, how do we communicate this, number one, to our players? And number two, how do we distribute the information on social media? He is absolutely all over it. He does it himself. It's not as if somebody's running his account. He likes things when he sees them on Twitter. He retweets things. He's Instagram. I mean, he's all the social media lines. And I guess that was part of his learning process at ESPN. I think they ask him and encourage you know better than I do.
Sure.
But at least that's what he's mentioned to me, that he really got good at it at that time. And boy, is it paying off in recruiting.
Yeah, no, I know we have a lot of pressing issues, but I just couldn't let this conversation go by without talking about him. And it just has to be, I mean, because people, you know, especially where in the ACC and especially in North Carolina, people fixate on basketball. But you know, he proved it the first time. You've had success since then. And it's a fairly unique football school, especially when things are going well.
I think it is. You know, we all have great pride in North Carolina. We love the university, as everybody does where they are. And he has done it. And you know, some schools are more challenging than others. But hiring a Hall of Fame coach who has done it here just seemed to make sense to me and to our leadership at the time. And, you know, again, knock on wood, so far so good. And I do believe in our conversation today, I'll be happy to talk about Mac all day, because that's a much better conversation than all the other things you might ask me.
Yeah, you know, Bubba, on a sports show, as you well know, we have had so few light moments that I hate to let go of this. I mean, I was thinking, as you said, Hall of Fame coach, the idea that, and I may be missing a few because you have some really good coaches at UNC, but the idea in the two most high-profile sports that you have two Hall of Fame coaches is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it really is. You know, we're fortunate. We have nine of our head coaches have won a national championship. And I count a couple of our tennis championships with the ITA. But, you know, Jenny Levy, women's lacrosse, Joe Bresci, men's lacrosse, Anson Dorrance won 20. Karen Shelton's won in women's soccer. Karen Shelton won them in field hockey. So I'm fortunate to work with some great coaches. And Mac certainly has. And ironically, Mac comes back. Half our coaches were here when he left. So yeah, this is a place people come and stay.
That's extraordinary. And I'll tread lightly on the big question because I know that we're all fatigued by the conversation. But it is interesting what all of the administrators around the country have been through. But your last 5 months, this happened during the ACC tournament. And here we are in early August, and we're still. I know a lot's been done, but some of the same questions about whether we'll see a season remain. What has this experience been like for you?
Well, I imagine mine is similar to everyone else, or almost everyone else. You know, most athletic directors in today's environment report directly to the chancellor, part of the leadership cabinet, and so we're all a part of those phone calls when the infectious disease folks and all the experts are weighing in on what we should do from a campus standpoint, and we learn. And the university created a roadmap to bring all of our students back, which we're actually doing this week. And we created one that mirrored the university roadmap and said, okay, we're going to phase in the return of our kids to campus. And so we did that beginning in mid-June. And now, this past Monday, yesterday, or 2 days ago, all the rest of our student athletes are now back in campus. They've all been tested, and they'll be integrated into the rest of the student body next Monday when all 19,000 will be here. And as I mentioned, they're coming every day this week. So our population is building very rapidly this week. You know, college students want to be back on campus. I had two in college last year. And they wanted to be at their location, and we let them do that for a while, but then they had to come back when basically the school shut down. So we're trying to thread that needle and be balanced to say that we're trying to create educational experiences for students in a community that is safe and healthy, but we're going to make mistakes. We're going to have positive cases. And how do we navigate that as safely and carefully as we can? And we're going to have problems. I know we are. But we do feel like we have great health care. Our hospital's terrific. Our experts are some of the leaders in the country in their fields and working on some of the vaccines and therapeutics going forward. So I imagine that's probably a pretty stock answer you get from most ADs.
Well, no, but I think it's important, Bubba, to hear that part of it because the cynics out there, and I'm not going to act like I'm not occasionally cynical about a lot of things, but it's easy to broad brush. This is all about money and television contracts and all that, but there's a lot more to it, and I know that you and your chancellors and the people that you deal with every day are trying to create this atmosphere that. It is incredibly challenging.
Yeah, we're trying, the whole country is trying to get back to normal. And there's great debate, political debate on, is it too soon? Is it too late? Should we have done this? Should we have done that? You know, we tried around the 4th of July to start a campaign on social media for us, which our student athletes were saying, I want to go to school. I want to play. I'm wearing a mask. I want you to wear a mask. We think that that's the best way to get a safe environment where you can participate. We also, I believe, that the athletic experience for not only our student athletes, but for the rest of the campus community really adds to the educational experience for all the students that are on campus. So hosting those events and having things on campus is the reason you pick your university, the reason you have pride in it. So it's not simply about, hey, we've got to get these kids back so they can play, because there's 19,000 other students on this campus that want to watch some of these events, and that's part of their experience as well. So you're right, it's complicated, and you know, we have 40 million unemployed people in the country. We're now, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to have 20 million college students trying to return to their campuses. I mean, it is a challenging time nationally, and we're all trying to do the best we can, recognizing that most of us have kids in addition to the students that we're trying to provide these opportunities for.
Bubba, I know the fixation has been on football because it's first, and I know there are a lot of other successful sports at UNC, but I am interested in the basketball piece of the puzzle, and I'm sure you have plenty of fans who are as well. It's different in football, but and I know it's something that you've looked at, you've had to look at, but how would you compare getting a basketball season underway versus what everyone's been trying to do with the football season?
Well, a couple of things. One is trying to get college sports underway compared to professional sports is entirely different. You know, we can't keep people in a bubble. They're not paid professional athletes. We can't put them in a hotel for extended periods of time. We can't buy out all of Disney World or any other property that might be able to do it. Now, basketball has fewer players, fewer students, so you can create a mini bubble around them, but they still are going to go to class. They're still, in our case, among 19,000 other undergraduates, so they're going to have interactions with other people, more so than a professional league. I also worry about the arena. You know, we're playing in an indoor arena. Most of our fall sports are played in outdoor arenas. So if you're ever going to have spectators, it seems easier to control that environment in an outdoor space. So I have kind of said that, you know, we look an awful lot like the professional leagues when we run out of the tunnel. But before we come out of the tunnel, we're vastly different than what the professional leagues are doing.
Bubba, this has been a fascinating conversation. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing the insight. These are incredibly complicated endeavors, but the more we hear about them, at least we on the other side have a better knowledge of what's going on. Thank you. Be well, and all the best this fall. We really appreciate your time.
Well, thank you, and thanks for shedding a light on the college student experience. I what you've done has been terrific, and I hope we have a safe season where all of our students get to participate. So thank you. Thanks for the invitation again.
Oh, it was our pleasure. Bubba Cunningham, the outstanding athletic director at the University of North Carolina, and you can't say enough about what he's done there, and especially the hiring of Mac. We will take a break. More to come, and more of your phone calls after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We are back, and Wes is in California. And Wes, thanks for being here. Good afternoon.
How you doing, Paul? I really got to just talk to you. The Colorado State thing, that's true. I've had a number of African-American parents as well as ball players ask me about signing the waiver. I tell them don't sign it. It gets the athletic department off the hook. okay? I said, this thing is real. I've had friends, I've had coaches who have died, okay, of this virus. Okay, it's real. It's in the air. It's undetectable. Okay, I have a former student athlete who's now a doctor in Pittsburgh. He let me know this thing is real. College football, college universities can't handle this. But this is the thing, Paul. Head coaches are not speaking to the players. They're having the GAs and the assistant coaches and the position coaches threaten the players. So when you hear players saying they've been threatened, and like when you saw that young man's mother audio tape, the phone call she had with the coach, yes, okay, players are being threatened to be on campus, to sign the waiver. I'm telling you, these used car salesmen they don't care about these kids' lives. They don't. Cunningham, you had him on just now, and I really don't always look at your show, but Cunningham was terrible. He sounded like he was selling you a couch, okay, because he was making everything soft. It's not going to be soft, okay? I worked as an academic advisor on a university, okay, on campus. It's going to be too much mingling, too much going on, okay? And these guys, these young men, and I do care about the African-American young men, because these guys are being told by a Saban, okay, or by Muschamp, or all these other good old boys, be on campus. They're not paying the parents' rent. They're not paying the parents' phone bill, oil bill, gas bill, electric bill, but they want these kids on campus to perform. And it's really scary because they've been saying, what should we do? I said, don't sign the waiver. The waiver gets the university and the athletic department off the hook. When you sign, because what's going to happen, Paul? It may take a death. A death that will wake people up. Okay? That's what I'm saying. And that's scary. Okay? Because we don't want to see a death of a student and a student athlete. Okay? I know my goddaughter, she goes to San Jose State. She comes from a seminar. They have to close off her room, but no one was there to close it off. She goes in her room, then they let her know, your roommate tests positive for COVID-19. What has to happen? Her father has to pick her up, send her home. The four of them in the family have to what? They have to isolate themselves from each other. Okay? I have a brother who lost his life as a bus driver. Okay? Because of COVID-19. You had a football player that I think I talked to you about. He's a football player, and his family, mother and father, died back-to-back off of this COVID-19. Young football player. I know I sent the article to you.
Wes, let me ask you a question, because I hear you loud and clear, but you know there are so many people who try and marginalize this virus or politicize it.
Paul, I hear you loud and clear, but when you got doctors talking, you listen to doctors. You don't listen to Bubba Cunningham because he's trying to make money. He needs more people on campus. His president, okay, his provost, okay, that's what they need. They need to fulfill the contracts, okay? They need to get sponsorships. I'm worried about the kids. It's not safe. It is not safe. And I don't want it to be. It has to take a death. Because these kids are scared. They're scared. And I know the African-American kids that have called me or emailed me or texted me, their parents want to know. And their parents have said, my son said he's been threatened by his GA or by his assistant coach.
And Wes, what are they threatening these athletes with?
You'll be on scholarship this year, but there's no guarantee that we're gonna keep you on next year. We all need to go in another direction. Comments like that, comments like this. Well, you know, we brought you back because we thought you would be a great part of our program, but if you're not gonna come back, you know, we can't guarantee that there'll be a position for you. You can't work out with this team, and next year is not what promised. We may go in another direction. So you really need to get back here on campus. These are the things. Look what's happening with Kurt over there in Iowa. I tried to call Kurt up 4 or 5 years ago. Because I'm born and raised in Newark, New Jersey. So we have a lot of New Jersey kids that go to Iowa. Andre Tippett, we played together in high school, Barringer High School. Norman Granger, Keith Hunter, Thomas Rich, George Persons, the Harmon brothers. We all played, okay? And I know how it is over there. Those kids, they just wanted to go to Iowa to go play in the NFL, but they hated the environment. And I try to tell kids, why go to Mississippi State? That guy's a numbskull. Okay, why go there? Why go to South Carolina? Okay, why go to these places that you don't feel you feel very uncomfortable, but you go there because it's going to be great for your parents to see you. And then your parents find out there's injustice, and your parents are raving mad, and they're upset. I tell them, don't sign the waiver. You gotta make sure all your T's are crossed and your I's are dotted, and you can't let coaches bully you. And that's what's happening. That's what's happening. And that Colorado State proved it. I mean, Texas Tech, Kirby Holcutt has a problem with his basketball women's coach bullying players.
Right. Yeah, that story came out today.
That's right. And then you've got a situation where I love what – I don't even listen to Charles Barkley. You hear me, Paul? But Charles Barkley said, if I was just a person, a black person, would I get respected? No, he wouldn't. He's totally right. He wouldn't. I have family in Obalanka. I have family in Montgomery, in Birmingham, okay? And they can't believe – what's going on where some of their students, athletes who are relatives, are being forced to go to Mississippi, to Mississippi State, to go on campus at Louisiana Tech. Look what happened to DJ Looney, the football coach, died of a heart attack out there, no mask on. He died just over the weekend.
Yeah, no, he's a great coach. Wes, listen, we are up against the break. I apologize.
I understand, Paul.
I hope
you go ahead. You be safe. And like I said, this is real. This is real.
You be well as well. Hey, thank you very much. Heading to a break, 90 minutes to go on just another happy Wednesday.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back. Todd is up next in Georgia. Hey, Todd, you are on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today, sir?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, just real quick, I had a comment about the gentleman from California there, Wes, with regard to his comments about, you know, player safety and coaches being bullies. I just have a real hard time with that, personally. I think that, you know, it's ridiculous to think that any head coach for any major program doesn't have the player's best interest in mind, in health and safety, first and foremost, you know, above everything else. So I thought that was a bit ridiculous, but, you know, I just feel like that was a little bit unmitigated.
Well, I mean, I appreciate his concern. People look at the world differently, and I mean, I got where he was coming from. I didn't agree with it. I think most coaches do. I think there's always a bad apple, and the Colorado State is troubling because the coach that we're talking about here, Steve Adazio, has had a history of conflict. So ultimately, the school is investigating, and they should.
Right, right. Well, I think it's probably a real minute percentage. But also, Paul, I wanted to ask you real quick, with regard to the SEC, conference-only schedule, in your expert opinion, don't you think that all it does is boost the resumes of every SEC team, with everyone playing each other, that in a scenario where, we have a season and everything plays out?
Well, I think it depends. I haven't seen the schedule yet, and we should see that fairly soon. But you can't tell me, though, that if LSU ends up playing Missouri, just for the sake of argument, okay, that's going to
right.
be a higher quality win for them than beating Texas. So, I mean, there are some outliers. I think overall the SEC champion is going to be automatic, so there's no debate. I think what we're really talking about here is, does the SEC get a second team in?
Yeah, exactly.
If Alabama wins the SEC championship with two losses, they're still going to the playoffs.
Right, right. I can't help but think that, like I said, with the addition of two extra conference games in the SEC conference.
But I think it just entirely depends on how it falls. There was a lot of expectation that we would know at least the two teams by now. The Big Ten came out, the Pac-12, I believe the SEC, the ACC is releasing its schedule in the morning. So everyone is doing it differently. There's a lot of scuttlebutt today in the SEC about what's going on, and I'll leave it to the chat boards and the Twittersphere to explain at least where the rumors are. But something is clearly going on, and I don't think it will be too long before we know more.
Right, right. Well, thank you very much for taking my call, Paul. Have a good day.
Thank you very much. Really good to have you on. Sean is up next in Ontario. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Paul. How you doing? It's been a long time.
We are great.
Thank
you very much.
Yeah. The paramedic here would like to bring some levity to the show, if that'd be all right with you.
That would be great.
Yeah. Paul, Shannon, the caller from Georgia. I do admire and respect his calls, and while I don't always agree with him, I can respect his passion and where he's coming from, until yesterday. Now, normally I wouldn't call in and question someone's opinion, but a few weeks ago, you and Shannon had a conversation about Mike Gundy and his idiotic behavior at Oklahoma State. He also talked about Chuba Hubbard. Now, Chuba happens to be, his family lives about 20 minutes away from my house. So, we see each other once in a while at the family. I can tell you that their political aspirations range from liberal to conservative. And the reason I bring this up is because Shannon made a flippant remark that, Chuba Hubbard's from Canada. We don't know what kind of news they get up there. I thought Shannon was the last person who believed that all Canadians wear snowshoes and eat whale blubber. But the only reason I bring this up is because he had such a problem with the caller from California comparing him and other white southern males to Foghorn Leghorn. The reason we laugh at Foggy, Shannon, is because at the end of each reel, Foggy gets a taste of his own medicine. And that's what you're getting here, Shannon. When I was starting out as a paramedic, Paul, I got a really good piece of advice, and I'm not sure if you'd agree with it, but someone once told me, Sean, try hard not to offend, and try harder not to be offended. I'm not sure if you agree with that or not, Paul, but you seem to live by that motto.
Yeah, I mean, it's always a challenge when you end up offending someone, but most of the time, Sean, it can be avoided. I try not to let things affect me personally. As a human being, you know, and I know that that's impossible. But I think you have to let it roll off your back. And I plead with friends of mine. I've pleaded with callers. Don't take everything so personal.
But as a nation,
but that would have excluded you. As a people,
well, almost. We want to be part of America, but not right now, I guess.
But as a people, we tend to personalize everything, and it's something I've really battled, like everyone else. And
Paul, I've really noticed that trend. And not to mention. The other caller from Georgia who seems to get offended at the drop of the hat, D. I mean, it seems like people like D and Shannon just can't walk around the earth without being offended at something. Something always has to get under their crawl. Well, Shannon, you got a little taste of your own medicine today, all right? Just relax and enjoy life. What did that old caller once tell you, Paul? Take a couple of aspirin. Put your feet up, take a big drink of water, and just exhale.
I like it. Hey, Sean, thank you very much.
It's always a pleasure, Mr. Feinbaum. We love you. God bless.
Thank you. Great to have you on. We are heading to a break here. We hope you'll continue to call and watch and listen. The phone number is 855-242-7285. We're back with much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we are back. We mentioned the Big Ten announced this morning that it had revealed the schedule for the year beginning on September 3rd. The ACC, which announced which teams were playing which, tomorrow morning will announce its actual schedule as well. So little by little, we are getting a look at the revised college football season. Not completely, though. We'll keep you posted when the SEC makes its call. Shannon is up next in Georgia. Hey, Shannon.
Hey, Paul. How you doing this afternoon?
We are doing great. It seemed like I just heard your name mentioned.
Yeah, apparently somebody from Canada called down and took some shots at me. I didn't actually hear it. It was just by fate that I called in when I did, but I've been kind of apprised of the situation. I didn't even know Chuba Hubbard was from Canada. It's good to hear something relevant came from Canada.
Yeah, that is true, by the way.
I think maybe Canadian bacon, but I think that's really just ham and Chuba Hubbard. So, hey, Canada's got something to be proud of. Here's the thing, Paul, and I'm going to respond to that guy saying that this way. First of all, I'm born and raised in the state of Georgia, and I'm unapologetically Southern. Unapologetically Southern raised and educated in the South. And I taught and coached for 13 years on the high school level here in the state of Georgia. I got my certification in English and taught football. Taught English, coached football and baseball and wrestling for 13 seasons. Paul, I spent my entire life functioning under the belief that sports was the one place where it didn't matter your socioeconomic status, your racial status, your religious status, anything. That people could come together as a team and they could enjoy the opportunity to really experience equality in the locker room and on the field. And that's how I grew up, that's how I played the game, and that's how I coached the game. And now I watch sports, and after living a life in the South where I was taught by my parents to be careful of what you say, not to offend people, not to make people feel outcast or make them feel like they're less than who they are, I'm constantly bombarded now by the media with the message that the white male is the problem with society. And I'm sorry if people in Canada or California or Timbuktu get upset about it, but there's a prevailing message that white privilege and the white Southern evangelical male is what's wrong with this country. That's the message that I hear on ESPN. That's the message that I hear from NBA, from Major League Baseball. And unfortunately, it's starting to creep into college athletics. And I'm sorry if people don't understand. I spent my entire career in public education serving young people. And Paul, when I tell you that I've fed and clothed and helped house multiple kids. So for someone to question my scoffing at that and not to understand that, you know, I heard a caller come to your show a couple weeks ago and said, well, maybe all the black college athletes just need to go back to the historically black colleges and universities and we'll just separate from the white players. I thought that's what we fought against, you know, but now that seems to be the push. Do you disagree with that, Paul?
Well, Shannon, I think that would not be the prevailing wind that I as I see it. I appreciate and applaud you for your work because I've always felt that people that we focus on college athletics here, but it starts at a much younger age, and you're far more aware of that than I am because I'm not a coach or a teacher. But I do think there's a skewed view of the world, and I would agree with you that I think the presentation of this issue by the media has been distorted.
Well, and Paul, I guess I just get offended by it and I get upset by it because I've never personally understood anything other than equality. I mean, I don't want to get into, well, I know this person, that person, because you hear all that. That's bull. I don't judge anybody by anything other than the quality of their character. But we've got some decisions being made in our country and some agendas being pushed in our country. And I'm hearing scary things come out of athletes. And you guys in the media haven't even such anti-Semitic remarks, anti-white remarks come out of celebrities' mouths. It's just causing greater division. It's not bringing us together. It's drawing a line in the sand.
Let's talk about the media part of this for a second because most people don't want to talk about it, but I'm willing to because I think you know I see it and I understand the frustration and I don't blindly defend anyone in the media, even where I work. It's not my job. I'm happy to have this job, but I'm not paid to defend ESPN or any other network. I'm here to give my opinion, to share with you and many others this program every day.
Well, you know, I mean, when you go back to the whole Drew Brees thing and the attack that he took for the comment he initially made about not being willing to kneel for the anthem, and you know, he was really berated.
He was. He was attacked.
And he immediately backtracked and he apologized and made the tweet to Trump and did all that he did. But then coming off the heels of that, just a few weeks later, Malcolm Jenkins and DeSean Jackson were both involved in some rather inflammatory anti-Semitic statements, if you remember, Paul. And I don't remember any apology coming from that stuff. You know, and what's good for the goose is good for the gander. You can't have it both ways in this world. You know, and so I can't call in and say, you know, the problem with the coronavirus is the inner city minority. How would that go over, Paul?
Well, Shannon, unfortunately, we do have to run. We're out of time for this hour. We will have another hour to go, and we'll keep on with this topic after this.